New dispensation where a lot of people are starting to ask themselves why, what is the big idea, why am I on this planet? It no longer cuts it, it just doesn't cut it to just pay your bills and have a place to go every morning. We've started to question a lot of things, and the post meals come with a whole diversity of information, but also questions, lots and lots of questions that they demand answers. It's no longer enough that the authority says so. They still need deeper understanding. So in order to meet this hunger, there wasn't probably not quite previously as loudly and evidently expressed. We know that there was a period of feminism in the 60s and the questioning of an 8-to-5 job, and that was also another phase of an awakening. A lot of people found themselves in cults, and we're at another cycle where the quick and very rapid changes in our society, you know, there's the information age, there's a lot of information in the hands of people, there's a lot of entertainment, there's a lot of creativity, and the ugly rises with the good. And that's the truth, because even Jesus said that let the wheat grow with the tares. You don't start removing the tares until the wheat is harvested, and you harvest the wheat together with the tares. So the weeds will be there. They'll be growing together with the good. So there is a good that is coming out of the questions, as well as a very ugly truth. There are a lot of our young people and even the older people are being sucked into cults, and the occult is thriving and growing out of a disillusionment that is affecting people, because they don't have the right answers to the questions that have bombarded their minds. Who they are, what are they supposed to be or meant to be doing on this planet, who created the earth, and science has provided a lot of false identities, like the Darwinian way of thinking, that we are created from an atom. Also, these kinds of things are mind-bogglingly false. I mean, they can really throw you off the tangent. So when you believe in a false truth, or basically fake news, as I call it, is scientific false knowledge, because it doesn't hit the core. Yes, there's evolution. Yes, there is changes. Yes, there's scientific basis to think that organisms can you know, be brought out of other organisms. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's the truth that counts, which is that God is the creator of man. And this disillusionment out of relativism and a lack of absolute truth or acknowledgement of an absolute authority, the challenging of the authority of God, is, as I've discussed earlier, the root of all manner of disillusionment, schizophrenia, demons, the doctrine of demons, and the occult. So in order to avoid all this, we need to know who we truly are, and the changes that are evident in this world, some of them are due to a lack of understanding of who God created us to be. We are meant to be change makers, and we're definitely meant to push God's agenda. If there's any other agenda on the table, we are to thwart it and to squash it. Now, men have risen in history, powerful men like Nebuchadnezzar, who followed an evil agenda that came from the demonic realm, where statues were set up. He set up statues for people to worship. And even in the end times, like I talked about in an earlier audio, we see that the Antichrist spirit, once it is here, that the false prophet will cause people to bow down and worship a statue that will talk and do other things. that will fool people. So there's a very urgent need for the biblical truths to be preached and taught with understanding, not from just I told you so or I tell you so it is so. People need to be fully cognizant of who the Creator is and the absolute truth and his absolute authority that is uncompromised. It is not relative to anything, cannot even be compared to anything else. And for that truth to come out, the Bible must be opened and taught and revealed, not topically, but just in terms of who God is. So who is God? So who is God anyway? So God is the one that created the universe. It says that in the beginning was God. In the beginning. We don't know what that beginning was. In fact, very few people talk about this beginning. But really, we know that there was no earth as we know it. There were no heavens as we know them. Because even the heavens as we perceive were created. So God created everything, the heavens and the earth. So you read from Genesis 1 and going forth. And it is absolutely the agenda of the devil and his realm, or the dark realm, to keep people skeptical and doubting, very doubtful of who God is or even his existence. So statements like there is no God start to appear. God doesn't care. And you know what? This is the same thing that happened ages ago. David wrote about it, that the fool says that there is no God. So people have questioned the perception of a God, an all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present force. So you get other smaller forces that assert their power and authority because people don't believe in a power that encompasses all powers and that is enthroned above all other powers. And we know from Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 3, from verse 16, that there is a power that is above every other power. And that is Jesus, who is part of the part God, you know, the Trinity, God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So it's really important that we start to unravel who God is, because the agenda of man on earth, his quest, his mission, his mandate is only fully understood under the banner of God and who God is, because God has an agenda too. Oh yes, God has a plan. He has a purpose for the world. So while we may be lured by the agendas of the realm of darkness, the true master plan belongs to God. Any other plan is a counterproductive plan that seeks to thwart the master plan. So God knows what he's doing on this planet. But the enemy also has one agenda, which is to thwart the plans of God. So when you fall into an agenda other than the agenda of God, when you fall into the plans and align yourself to anything other than the plans of God, then you're misaligned from his purposes and you are instead an agent of darkness, because there can only be two forces. One is the force that comes with God, which is light, the kingdom of heaven. You can read about it in the book of Revelation. And then there's a kingdom of darkness, which is ruled by Satan. And that realm is to oppose, its sole purpose is to oppose the plans and the purposes of God. And that's why in my earlier video, I said, you need to know why God put certain talents in you. And somebody may have been used by the devil to say that those were not, you know, usable, they're not marketable, or those gifts are not good enough, and therefore they went to waste. But God had them in you for a purpose. but it was His purposes. So if you don't use it, then there are parts of His purpose that you're not fulfilling, while you may be fulfilling others. And we are innately complex. We are not a linear. We are very, very diverse and multifaceted human beings. That's the truth. While the world may tell you to focus and, you know, specialize and all that, the truth is God gives us a package. It's a package that has different things in it. We're brought into this world as a package, but it has different pieces. Just like you would have a jigsaw puzzle that has different pieces, we are complex by nature. So everything about us was meant to be used for God, not for the devil. So I am particularly concerned when human beings, talented, extremely gifted, end up working for the kingdom of darkness. It's because they never defined their why. Why am I on this planet? Who created me? Who is God? If God is there, what does He exist to do? What is His ultimate objective? So the ultimate objective for God, God just wants to draw man to Himself. Jesus said that if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto you, which is unto God. And He said that nobody comes to the Father except him who God has sent to me, meaning that God sends people to Jesus for them to be born again, to get to know Him. All God wants is to be in fellowship, in unity, in a harmonious relationship with His children. And we are all God's children. He breathed His life into us. So we have His image, His identity. We are powerful because God is powerful. We are caring and loving because God is caring and loving. We pursue joy and happiness because God is joy. He is love. His presence brings joy. We pursue purpose because God is purposeful. We are creative because God Himself is a creator, meaning that He has creative attributes. He is creative. He is productive. That's why we always want to be doing something. We don't want to sit at home just, you know, like zombies all day. We feel a need to be productive, to come up with something, to do something with our time, to be useful. As much as the enemy wants to always be in your face, telling you lies, God is even more interested in being in your face. God wants to be present where you are. And we may give credit more to the devil for using all sorts of things to get into our mind, like the media. You know, it's full of dirty songs, it's full of dirty commercials or whatever. We have so much around us. But it's also a responsibility to seek out God because He's a breath away. He's a breath away. One of the attributes of Satan is that he wants to be in your face. He wants to steal the limelight. He wants to steal God's show. But the whole of creation is God's. So the enemy will always try to make you think that he's the center of attention. He's always going to look for attention. And one of the ways that the devil looks for attention is through negative thoughts. He wants you to be thinking lower of yourself than you are. He wants you to be second guessing your true identity in God. He doesn't want you to be happy. He always wants you to be sad and miserable. He wants you to be broke, making you feel like being broke is the worst thing that ever happened to you, because you can't afford certain things. In other words, Satan is always trying to spoil a party. While God is calling you to a party, an eternal feast, Satan is always trying to storm the party and spoil everything. Spoil the cake, remove the decorations, make you feel bad, make you start crying. Like a child, a party is very important to us, even as human beings. We want to be, you know, happy and joyful. And God is throwing a party every day. Just the fact that he causes the sun to rise to a new dawn, and his mercies are new every morning, and that he gives you breath of air for free, free air, free oxygen. He causes the creation itself to trumpet his name, but also for you to have joy. He causes it to rain for everybody. You know, he doesn't choose evil people not to have rain, and then, you know, the righteous ones are the ones who have rain. It doesn't roll like that. So he rolls with generosity. But the devil is a thief. He's a stealer. He'll steal everything from you. He'll steal your joy. He'll steal your peace. He'll steal your happiness. He's trying to erode the potency of your soul, because your soul is powerful. Your soul, your thoughts, your will, your emotions are powerful. But he's trying to drain you so that you do not have joy, you don't have peace. And he's also trying to keep you away from the fellowship with God, that fellowship, that quiet moment. You can't have a quiet moment. So he's always creating chaos around you, chaos in your mind, chaos in your environment, chaos at your workplace, chaos in your family life, chaos in your relationships, so you can't have peace and focus on God. So it is your responsibility to also get rid of those thoughts. It says that we need to rebuke every thought, every high thing that raises up itself above the knowledge of God. So you need to know the knowledge of God and the knowledge of who God is and what he stands for you to be able to rebuke a thought. And that's what Paul told us. He said, he wrote, I believe it was to the Corinthians, and told us to rebuke thoughts that rise themselves above the knowledge of who Christ is. So we cannot rebuke thoughts that are against something that we don't know. We got to know the standard, and then we're able to fight the enemy based on the standard that God gives us. So the knowledge is key, and then we have to willingly come before you. It says in Hebrews that everyone needs to first of all acknowledge that God is. For without faith, no one can please God. We need to first of all have faith that God is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And the key word there is diligently. So without diligence in seeking God, there's no reward. A lot of us need a reward from God. For the gifts that come from God are without repentance, but also they add no sorrow. They're perfect gifts. They don't come with sorrow. So I'm going to give you the references to what I've spoken about, but the key thing is also to learn to seek God diligently so that he can reveal his truths to you. What does it look like to seek God diligently? Well, for one, for starters, you can join a ministry. I follow Princess Belemzi Ministries. It's on Facebook. You can just Google Princess Belemzi. She's also on YouTube. And then if you don't have a community, you could also seek a physical community that seeks God, that prays often. They hold night vigils. They read the Bible. They study the Bible or the Word of God. There's a regular Bible study. You know, they do other things as well, like visiting the poor, giving to the poor, because those are the things that count in life. It's the giving. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And then they preach the Word to those that are perishing. You know, they visit the souls that are lost, the people that are lost, and take care of them. If you cannot find a community that does that, then you have to do it on your own. That means you go out of your way to read and study your Bible. You buy a Bible, you purchase a Bible, or you download the Bible app. I use YouVersion. It's fantastic. You can download all the different versions. So if one doesn't make sense, you can read another translation that makes sense. That's what I call the version. So you can look for the Bible app, yeah, I believe it's called YouVersion. And then you can also pray. Just pray. It doesn't take much to pray. A prayer can be a sentence. God, reveal yourself to me. God, help me. God, I want to know you. Lord, if you are there, reveal yourself to me. And the Spirit of God will start to minister to you. You don't need a crowd. You don't need a bunch of people to know God. Seeking God is a personal responsibility that requires personal effort. It is your decision, because it's your life. You will make the effort to know God. So I hope that this has been useful. I will share the scriptures in the description. Bye-bye. God bless you for now.